Good morning. Today, as Father Serafin pointed out, we begin the three-week period called Triodion, and it typically begins with the Sunday of the Pharisee and the Publican. The Publican is another word for tax collector, and these guys were not nice guys. They were native and ethnic Jews who worked with the hated Roman oppressors in collecting taxes from their fellow Jewish brethren in the land. They were doubly hated because they were seen as traitors to the Jewish people. So when Christ used the publican as an example to contrast against the Pharisee, he chose that example very carefully. In modern times, it might be like choosing a traitorous drug dealer in our own land. I'm going to read the passage again. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Well, that seems pretty clear on the face of it. We read that. But let's go through it again a little more carefully, and let's point counterpoint, as they used to say. So two men went up to the temple. Both men are in the temple. Both men are worshiping God. Good for them. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood. They both stood and prayed thus with himself. When you read Scripture, pay attention to the prepositions. It makes a difference. He prayed with himself. Who prays with himself? Do you come here to pray with yourself? You come here to pray with other people. You come here to pray to God. But we don't really pray with ourselves, do we? And he prayed, God, I thank you. I am not like other men. And then he listed off people that he was not like. One came, stood probably nearer to the altar. The publican, the sinner, it says, stood far away. One prayed with himself, the other prayed to God. One probably lifted his eyes up to heaven. It tells us that the publican would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. He looked down the whole time. One justified himself, saying, I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. The other condemned no one but himself. The publican didn't stand there and say, well, I thank God I'm not like that Pharisee over there. He said, have mercy on me, a sinner. One, the publican, knew he depended on God. He was dependent on God for God's mercy and grace and salvation. The Pharisee, on the other hand, thought he had it all figured out. He thought religious observances, a couple of boxes, you check them off, you do this, you do that, you got it all covered. I don't really need God. That's what the Pharisee is really saying here. I don't need God. I can handle it all by myself. He was independent of God. The publican, on the other hand, the sinner, knew he depended on God for grace and mercy and salvation. So when I read this, I wonder, it's not so much about pride and humility, although that's very much what it is. Another way to think of it is dependence and independence. This reminds me of a dog we had growing up. He was a great dog. He was an Alaskan sled dog, a Samoyed, I think. Big dog, had a big barrel chest. He was white. His name was Nicky. We loved Nicky. Dad had some friends who wanted us to keep Nicky for one summer to see if we would then agree to keep him permanently. So my brother and I loved playing with Nicky. We would go out in the yard and we would run from him. And, you know, it's not like we were going to get away from him or anything, but he would catch us. He didn't bark, he didn't growl, he played well with other dogs. But when we would run, he would do this thing where he would stick his head in between our legs and, like, I don't know, kick or twist his head, and it would cause us to trip and fall, and then we'd roll and wrestle. He was great. Big, big. Why? Nicky was stubborn, and Nicky was strong as a horse, right? These were Eskimo sled dogs. They were bred to pull sleds. So he had this big barrel chest. You didn't really see it. But when you put a leash on that dog and you tried to walk him, if a squirrel or a cat, mom couldn't handle him, and she was like a little Greek woman. She couldn't handle him. I was 12 or 14. I couldn't handle him. I mean, the dog would just pull you, literally. Dad was the only one, he was a big guy, was the only one that could handle this dog on a leash. But he was white, he was big, he was a great dog. He was just a great dog. He was such a fine dog that we were worried about him being stolen, right? I mean, he was on loan to us anyway. So when we couldn't be with him, we would tie him up. We lived in the county and there weren't leash laws then, so dogs typically ran free. We had other dogs that did from time to time. But anyway, we kept him tied up. For instance, one night Dad tied him to the riding lawnmower in the garage so he wouldn't run off. And so he would have shelter. I mean, you know, he had lead. It wasn't like he was tied to it. He was just connected to it so he could move around but wouldn't get away. Well, think about the concrete in a garage. It's like this floor, right? It's hard. It's smooth. If you're trying to get traction, unless you've got tennis shoes on, that's a hard place to get traction. You wouldn't think a dog could pull a riding lawnmower out of a garage into the front yard overnight. But Nicky did. Nicky did. We woke up like, where's the dog? Where's the riding lawnmower? And, you know, there he is. All this to prove that he was a good dog, but he was stubborn and he was strong. Just like the Pharisee. Think about it. It takes strength to observe the fasts, to make the tithes, to come to all the religious services. That takes strength. It takes a force of will. It takes some stubbornness, if you will. I don't really want to go, but I'm going. So he did it. The Pharisee, like Nicky, was stubborn and strong. Now, sadly, because of Nicky's strength, we decided as a family we couldn't keep him. He was just too much dog. Just too much. So we gave him back to the original owner. I never met them. We heard, unfortunately, a couple of months later, that Nicky had broken his leash. Not surprisingly. He didn't like to be tied down. He didn't like to be restricted. He did not like to be humbled. Nicky did not like to be humbled. He wanted to go where he wanted to go, when he wanted to go. He didn't want a leash. He did not want a leash of humility. None of us do, really, probably, if we're really, really honest. All of us want to be our own little kings and queens. But that leash of humility, that leash of faith that God gives us is for our own good. We had Nicky tied up at night so he wouldn't get stolen. When he broke the leash, he ran free. He probably enjoyed that freedom for a little while until that car hit him and Nicky died. The leash of humility is for our own good. We may not like it, but it's for our own good. If Nicky had accepted that leash, he would have lived. If the Pharisee had accepted the leash of faith, the leash of humility, he would have been justified with God. He would have been on the right side with God. And if there's anybody whose bad side you don't want to be on, that's God. So what's your takeaway point? Leash of humility. If you are struggling with one thing, let's say it's anger. And there's so many that we can choose from. If you are struggling with anger, I don't care if you're in the first grade or if you have retired. If you are struggling with anger, accept the leash of humility. Who are you to be angry about anything? Who are any of us, myself included? Think of all the blessings we've been given, the things that we've enjoyed. Yes, life can be hard, but who are we really to be indignant and angry about anything? If anybody has a right to be indignant and angry, it's Jesus Christ our God. But He's not. He's a loving, good, and merciful God. So if you struggle with anger, whether you're young or whether you're old, give it to God. Let Him take it from you. And He will in return give you the leash of humility. And with that you will find peace of mind and strength of heart.